Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
TMS is brought to you daily by the support of our patrons at patreon.com/TMS, like John Oliphant, Kindwick, and Jonathan Ryan. Coming up on TMS, I said Alaska, but I didn't mean it.
Butt dial included a butt.
A shower and a Dayquil.
For those about to commute, we salute you.
Integumentary, my dear Watson.
Kadalarha bonita.
Trusted adult cocaine.
Teeth buds.
These stamps are spicy.
Pill off the posh.
Exposing the men mound.
Guy wrapped in a couch.
I don't like Duncan feces.
No more unlimited soapy pillows.
Our books are due with Amy and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
Know what? Now Wendy's is making bacon.
No faking. Bacon?
Wendy's is making bacon.
I'm not going to raise my voice.
This is The Morning Stream.
Ah, that's the level of stupid we're looking for. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's The Morning Stream for Tuesday, January 9th, 2024. I'm Scott Johnson, and that is Brian Ibbett. Hello, Brian Ibbett.
Hello.
Now,
getting closer. Yeah, go ahead.
Please. Sorry, I was just going to say, have I gotten past the five? You had a five-day bet that I would screw the date up by 5 days into the show, and I think.
Oh, that's right. I said by the 10th.
Oh, by the 10th. All right, so we're still
by
good.
The 10th.
We're still
good.
The competition,
and you haven't done
is,
it yet, right?
Nope, still haven't done it. Competition
right.
has been thick. Although I did sign some artwork. As 2004.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. And then I realized I did.
I wish I could count that. I could count it.
Yeah. It has to be show. It has to be show stuff, right? That's our.
Yeah. It has to be. It has to be you actually saying it on the show.
Now,
so tomorrow's the last chance.
There was a near miss today. Brian was almost not here. And he is here now, though. He got a shower and Dayquil, really, is what did it.
It really is what it took. You know, I was feeling like hot garbage.
Yeah.
Warmed over garbage. A bag of,
I don't know.
A bag of assholes or something like that. What's the Charlie Sheen phrase?
I think it was a bag of smashed.
Or a tin can of assholes or something like that.
There's a smashed bag of smashed assholes. I
think that's it. A bag of smashed assholes.
That's a pretty good Sheen. That's not
it
bad.
Came from all the Tiger Blood and Wizard and comments and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Plus, you have to just really nasal it up. A bag of smashed assholes.
You get more nasally the more coke you snort. And that's how it works.
I guess it is. That's true. Anyway, that's what I felt like this morning. And I texted Scott at 4:30 a.m. Like, no good texts ever come at 4:30 a.m., Scott. And basically said, maybe you want to find a co-host today because it ain't going to be me. And feeling good enough. Maybe I don't sound good enough, but I'm feeling good enough to do a show.
That makes me glad. I'm very happy. I am sad that you had the dip, but this thing going around is known for the dip. It's known for the
ricochet. Really? Like a lot of people are experiencing this?
Yeah. So I think Carter has it. It's been real up down for her. My thing was just straight horrible sore throat and sinus infection thing for like 8 days straight, and it never really varied much, and then just went away. I don't think this is the same thing. You got some gnarly ass.
Yeah, I don't know what this is, but I was seriously thinking last night. I told Tina, I was like, I can't remember the last time that I felt this sick for this long. Like, because it hit after the show yesterday. I basically did a little bit of freelance, then went up and laid on the couch and binge watched the show that I finally finished up at 4:30 in the morning.
Oh my gosh! Oh,
four seasons of a future recommendal.
You were up watching a thing at 4:30 when you texted me and you realized, oh,
yeah,
man, I'm not
yeah.
gonna...
I was up. I was like, I cannot sleep anymore. I'm done. I'm out.
That's awful.
Yeah.
I feel for you, dude. That sucks. But you know, you're here. I get another text at like 7 something. And he says, you know what? I had a shower. I got DayQuil in me. I think it'll be okay.
Yeah, let's see if I can get a little bit better here. And sure enough.
So be impressed at home, everybody, at Brian's stick-withedness.
See, exactly what I do for you.
That's right. Because we have two rules here on the show about attendance. And the only rules we have are, if you're sick, you get better and you don't come in here. So if you do, it's always like, well, you know, one of us will always say to the other one, well, if you're not feeling it, don't worry. You know, remember, health first, all this stuff. And then do we even have another thing? Is that all we have?
I think that's our only rule.
I guess it's family stuff. If it's a big family deal, then
true. Yeah, family stuff always comes first.
Yeah. So if it's Tina's birthday, well, not that we don't do shows on birthdays, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
Something like that.
Tina takes her birthday off. I don't take Tina's birthday off.
No, I don't even take my own off. You kidding?
Yeah.
Freaking what? It's just another day to me.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I'm glad you're here.
Boss.
So speaking of what we do and how we do it, and also the snow that we both had, we're frozen over right now. We got all kinds
Yeah. Yeah, it's cold. Today's going to be the warmest day of the week at 44 degrees for a high today.
Oh my gosh.
We have a high of 15 coming up on Sunday.
I don't think we go higher than 20 today, and then we get into the single digits and negatives next week.
Yeah, okay. So you're getting the same thing we are.
Yeah. And it's somebody told me that Colorado and Utah, while we're having, you know, some normal winter business, that we're not in the way of this cold or this, what do they call it? Freeze.
Yeah, the one that's coming up through New Mexico apparently is not what's affecting us, which surprises me because, well, it sure feels like that's the kind of thing they're describing in New Mexico, but apparently not.
Yeah, and I guess it's hitting states around us, so I don't know why we got a little bubble around us, but we do. And good luck to Kansas. Good luck to Idaho. I guess you're right in the way of the freeze. Alaska. And Alaska. And who else?
Alaska.
Did I say Alaska? I didn't mean them. I meant, who did I mean? Oh, Montana. You're right in the way.
Montana. Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Look for that coming at you. But anyway, the reason I bring all that up is one nice thing about what you and I do. There's lots of, you know, pluses and minuses. But one of the pluses, I think, is that when there's huge amounts of snow, we don't have to commute 45 minutes somewhere.
Doesn't matter. Yeah, exactly.
Just come downstairs to our studios. Uh-huh. There's no snow to clear between there and here.
We have a 2-minute commute.
That's right. So I found a thing I thought was interesting. This is kind of a shout out to all our commuters out there. Maybe you're even in your car right now commuting, listening to the show. I don't know. But I found some interesting data on the
Average this stuff.
Yeah, average commute time to work across the USA. And this is as of 2023. So these are really recent numbers.
Oh, good. Because I think a lot of people's work styles changed during the pandemic. A lot of companies said, all right, we're going to let everybody work from home during the pandemic. And then afterwards they said, you know what? We're going to let you keep working from home because we can save on office space and all that stuff.
Yeah. So what you see here, well, let's see. I can put it up for the chat as well because they should see this chart. This chart, it's kind of a heat map sort of really light yellow down to kind of hot red. And the hot red is the longest amounts of time people spend commuting. Wow. And then the lighter or less. And the old maps were more red and further west. This one is more light and pushing toward the middle of the country.
Darker to the east,
But you can tell more populated areas makes sense. They're going to have the most traffic, right?
Like, sure.
You can't
Los
avoid
Angeles.
It. Yeah. Parts of, let's see. That stuff in Nevada up at the top, I'm trying
to... Yeah, the northern Nevada. I mean, that's even further north than Reno.
Yeah, that's dark. Dark, dude. What's that about?
Yeah, I don't know.
Probably, if I had to guess, let me zoom in.
Because that's like a 35, 40 minute. It just probably means that there's people who work in very rural areas and they have a long drive just to get to their office. Not because of traffic, but just because of the distance that they have to go.
Yeah. And I'm trying to do a similar thing with ours. I'm looking at it and going, okay, Salt Lake, the little wad of Salt Lake in the center top of the state.
Yeah.
I don't know what this, let's see, what would that be east of me? That would be, I don't freaking know. But down here toward the bottom, you got, I assume that's Cedar City that's all lit up, and that's probably because that's sort of a crossroads for everything. That makes sense to me. You got a real deep red in yours where people are going 40 plus minutes to get wherever they're working.
Yeah, but that's, if that's west of us, that is, those are mountain town folks. Those are people who work in like Silverthorne, Vale, Aspen. See, we're, if you look at the Denver area, where we live is that lighter pink one to the right of the dark red, kind of in between those two big dark red blotches.
Oh, I see. Like the little mini Utah, like a little L there.
Looks like a little knife blade pointing down. That's Jefferson County.
Oh, I see it. Okay.
Yeah. Aurora is the big Tetris block L shape to the right,
yeah,
to the east.
Yeah.
And then the ones to the west of us are like you said, like mountain town kind of stuff. So,
all right. And then the far west, yeah, stuff, I assume, are much less populated because those are, yeah, areas where 9 minutes is, I mean, you would think it's like, oh, well, out in rural areas, you'd have further to drive, but you also have zero, exactly, traffic. So,
yeah,
you just,
yeah,
get on the road and take your truck where it takes you and you're done in 9 minutes. That makes sense. But anyway, exactly, it's a lot. And I just feel bad for, let's see, is this L.A. down here? Looks like it is.
Yeah, but L.A., I mean, you could be 2 miles from your office and still have a 40 plus minute commute.
Yeah, yeah. I
feel, you have to go on the 405 or the 110 or something like that.
Let's see what happens in tech. Who's got the worst in Texas? Hold on, let me pull up Texas.
It looks like Houston over there in the,
yeah,
in the southeast, although Dallas, kind of northeast,
yeah,
is
pretty left heavy, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm surprised Mississippi has,
yeah,
and Louisiana have so much red. I've driven both of those states kind of up and down and across them all multiple times, and I never really felt like, well, I guess it's not the same as a commute, though. I don't know. Hard
the
to
DC
say.
DC area, not a lot of working from home in DC.
No.
People have to go in to the office.
Oh, yeah.
Big Jersey, dark. Philly up there, nice big dark red splotch at Philly.
Yeah, look at that. Look at Long Island.
Yeah.
That thing is effed.
Yeah. It's all red.
Yeah, it's all red. You guys are screwed. Anyway, I'm curious what people write in with their average commutes, because, you know, some of you are going to be in a rural area and tell us different or why it works the way it does. But I'm always just fascinated. Well,
we probably have a lot of folks who work from home, too.
Yeah, we probably do. I know we do. Yeah. A lot of folks in our morning chatter from, you know, they're working at home, a lot of them.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, anyway, just thought it was interesting. And
yeah, Alaska, probably the easiest. I mean, who knows who lives out there in the frozen tundras outside of your major cities, but Alaska. Big old 9 minute swath, almost 9 minutes or less swath there.
Oh yeah, look at that! Holy crap! Yeah. How are the islands? They're all kind of orange, but not bad.
Yeah, kind of surprising the numbers on Hawaii though.
Yeah, yeah. So the main island's got some beef. I love how this looks like it's just off the coast of Texas, the way they had to arrange this.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if
it's just kind of freaking me out, the proximity. I don't like it, but what's the middle cluster that's lighter?
That's your Kauai, I believe, and
I don't know what they're doing, but they got it going on.
Yeah,
less commute.
But I mean, you would not think that is Maui one of those in the middle there? Yeah, you wouldn't think that there would be. It's like 18 minutes to get from one side of the island to the other. How could you have a 40 minute commute?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah, Molokai. Oh, Kauai is up northwest. Yeah, Kauai, Molokai. I'm sorry, Molokai, Maui, Big Island down to the right, and Oahu, kind of in the northwest of that little cluster.
You officially passed today's geography lesson that I would have failed. There's no way I would have gotten.
I had to look it up.
Oh, well then,
I had to,
you're suspended for cheating in class, Brian.
That's fine. That's totally fine.
Just keeping our class scenario alive. Well, anyway, salute the commute, I say, and all you people hardworking every day that are forced to go into an office someplace that's a little further than you'd like, we salute you, okay?
Yeah.
I got a call that makes no sense, and I would like to play it on the show. You ready for that?
All right.
I don't know who this is. You're going to have to tell us who
Ooh,
you
I
are.
I love it. I love it when we have to translate somebody's called-in message.
Well, this one is especially hard to assess out because it's also very short. So I just want someone to claim it. It's fine if you don't, but here's the call right here.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all I got.
Mm-hmm.
You hear that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I did hear that.
What does this remind us of? Mm-hmm. I don't know what to compare it to.
It sounds like a butt dial, but also...
included a butt?
Yeah, it included mm-hmm. the butt. It's like the sound that the falling block makes in Bowser's castle.
Oh, I like that. Oh, yeah, the big wampas, is that what they're called?
Womps.
I think that might be it. Yeah, you know what? You're right. They land, they get all pissed and get a mad face and go, and then they barely miss you. And then you got to go around and get them on the back because they have the Band-Aid on their backs. That's their deal.
Do you have an area code that came from?
No, that's the other thing, is it came through showing no... Usually I get phone number data. Really? I get something. And this had unlisted or some other classification. So there's nothing there.
Wow.
Other than that.
Oh, so, Thwomp, that's it. Thank you, Silver Wisp.
Oh, Thwomp. Yeah. That's very Nintendo. Thwomp. All right, well, whoever thinks that's them, you let us know what happened there. All right?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm worried about you. What if this was a last second? They misdialed us. They were trying to call 911 to say, oh, no, my butt. And then they hung up. I don't know. I have no idea. Let us know, though. We'd love to hear it here on the show. Mike Pacholik wrote in or called in and he has a concern. So, you know, I got this Tio Salamanca sculpture he sent me, the print. Yep. Well, he says this about that.
This is Mike Pacholik. Happy New Year, Scott and Brian. Hey, on that sculpture I sent you, there was a third piece that goes with it, which is a breathing tube. And it would have been in the bubble wrap. I sent you a text about it as well. So it actually goes into his nostrils. It hangs down. If it's not in there or the box yet thrown out, let me know, and I will send you another one. And, Brian, the printer I printed that on is an X1 Carbon, the Bamboo Lab printer. Whoa. So, Happy New Year, guys, and I will talk to you later.
Is that a fancy printer?
That's a nice one, yeah. The Bamboo Lab's new machines are just incredible.
Are they all, they're just filament, right, or do they do other stuff?
Nope, just filament, but...
Bamboo Labs, look at these. He say the 1X Carbon, is that what he called it?
The 1X, yeah.
Here we go. Oh.
Or X1. X1 Carbon.
It looks cool.
Yeah.
Ooh, I like how the filaments handle.
Closed with the little multi-filament, so you can do multicolor printing.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Oh, my gosh. Some of this stuff they make is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mecha Godzilla? Little tiny gears? Different colors all in one print? Oh, that's cool. I'd take it these probably are expensive, though, if I had to guess.
It ain't cheap, yeah. $1,500, but...
it's not bad, though.
I mean, it's not bad for the quality and what it does.
Yeah.
But my Cobra Max is... it was $400 Cyber Monday.
Oh, well, that's a pretty
massive
good deal.
Print bed with a full size helmet sized print bed.
That's pretty good. Oh, they have another model that's only $399, but it's not as enclosed. But it looks like it's pretty cool.
Oh, TV's Travis says even Red on Air Light. Who read on Air Lighted? Was it him or me?
Because I don't know. I don't know what he means. Well, anyway, that's cool. I kind of want one, and now I will never get one because that's expensive. But that's very good.
Yeah, a little pricey. But
To answer Mike's point, I didn't. I went through the bubble wrap again to check. It's not. There's no nose thing.
Oh, no. Bummer.
But I don't want him to send me things. I feel bad. So, Mike, unless you have it handy, tell me what it costs to ship, and I'll cover it because I feel bad. If you have to go do it new, don't stress about it. I'll just know
Tio can breathe. He's fine. He can breathe otherwise.
Yeah. This is before his, you know, he got really into the treatment plan. Okay.
It's really funny that he comes a little oxygen tube.
I love that.
I love it.
Yeah. But it makes sense also that kind of thing would have to be a separate print, right?
For sure. Yeah.
Because you got a little dainty thing that's not going to just stay in his face. Anyway, thank you for that, Mike. Also, this is important here. Dr. Tolbert wrote in. We talked about teeth and whether they're part of your skeleton or not. The only part of your skeleton you'll ever clean your teeth thing.
Right.
And I had real reservations about whether teeth, A, are truly bone, but mm-hmm. B, whether they're considered skeletal structure. Even though a skull is often found buried with a full set of teeth.
With teeth, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Which, importantly, too, because that's how they do, like, dental records and find out who killed who and that kind of stuff.
Exactly.
So, he wrote in to give us the full skinny on this, and I have to admit, I'm a little surprised. by the answer.
Okay.
But it makes sense now that I've heard it. Anyway, here it is from the doctor's mouth.
Since you said my name three times and summoned me, here's your answer. Teeth aren't technically bones. They are considered by some textbooks to be part of the skeleton, but not the skeletal system. They are more closely derived from some cells that make up your hair and skin and nails, making them part of the integumentary system. The more you know. Love the show, though.
Integumentary system.
Yeah, I've never heard that. Integumentary.
It's
integumentary, my dear Watson.
What are my teeth, Mr. Sherlock Holmes? Well, they're integumentary, my dear Watson. No,
integumentary.
I've never heard that before, but also just saying like nails, hair, that sort of stuff being kind of in the same vein. That for whatever reason, that makes sense to me now that I hear it. You know what I mean? Because it's a thing that kind of grows out when you're a baby. You aren't born with them.
Exactly.
Or maybe you are.
Fall out.
But they're tiny. Or I don't know how they bud in a baby. I don't know where they start. Does the baby poop out with teeth?
Well, no,
baby
doesn't have. Yeah, when your babies don't have teeth, they grow and they come out. I see what you're saying. Like, are they there in the scabbard waiting to come out?
Yes,
kind of thing.
That's what I wondered. And then they grow out.
They're deep in the gums. But,
okay.
Yeah.
Phoebe's going through that right now. She's having a moment. She's not happy about it.
Oh, the teething situation.
They don't like it, dude. It turns out kids really don't like teething. And she's got three big ones on the bottom and a couple of molars popping in, and they just piss her off. But then she eats, and then she's happy because she can crunch food, and then she's all good. But whatever. It's the life of a baby. We deal with it.
Wait till she bites Van's finger, and you guys make a video of it, and it goes viral.
Goes viral for the rest of time.
That's right.
That thing's lasted forever. Anyone check really in on has, those kids? Yeah. Are those kids in college now, or what's their deal?
Somebody checked on Charlie.
Yeah. Make sure he's okay. He didn't get into drugs and get spat out the bottom of the porn industry or something like that, because that'd be sad. Wouldn't you hate to hear that? Charlie bit my finger and then got addicted to meth.
And then, right, now was on fentanyl. Great. Yeah,
that'd be a serious bummer. Anyway, thank you for those phone calls. You all can make calls to us, even when they're just this. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Send them in, 801-471-0462. And if you have a correction or an answer because of your expertise, the way Dr. Tolbert does his thing, more the better. We'd love to hear from you and correct ourselves. We're not prideful men here on the show. You know, if Brian gets something wrong, he's happy to admit it. If I get something
wrong, I'll totally admit it. Absolutely. Like,
not a problem.
I'll usually do it like while people are correcting me in chat and be like,
yeah, I guess
I did look up Hawaii. I looked it up.
That's right. We'd like to be accurate and on time.
We're not infallible.
No, not us. Not us. Not now. Not here. Okay, let's get going to some news. We have some news. We may as well do it. So let's do it. Here you go. Today's news brought to you by
Abby. Makes some very cool stuff on her Instagram channel and ships them right to you. Support a frog painter, artist, and creator today. Check out Devil's Dame Creations on Instagram today. That's Devil's Dame Creations.
Yeah, and it's
she is making. We were talking about name tags for TMS Vegas here. Apparently, she makes them and does some these really cool embroidery things. So, I don't know if I, don't know if I should still think about doing little 3D print name tag deals.
Yeah, and she was there last year, so I'm sure she'd come again and bring.
I know, I'm so glad because she missed a couple of years. I remember prior to last year, the last time we saw her at TMS Vegas, we were hanging out with her at the Container Park during the Brother show. I remember sitting there.
Oh right,
With her and Shane and Gidget all hanging out over there with the Brother show at the Container Park.
Yeah, 2019, baby.
Yep.
It says, I'm just looking at some of these on her Instagram. Some really good stuff. The embroidery blows my mind.
I wonder if we can make a name tag holder that works with those or works without. Those work without, kind of thing.
Oh, like, I see what you're saying, yeah.
Or would work if you didn't get one of Abby's name tags.
Right. Also, I wonder about production. Like, it's one thing to, like, tell a printer to make 100 of a thing. Right. It's another to just have a person have to sew 100 of a thing. So, I don't know. We'd have to talk to her. Right. But I kind of like the idea. And she sent us a couple of things like this, which is what made me think to put her in here at all. But they're really well made. Like, the embroidery stuff is awesome. I'd love to get a hat done by her.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Anyway,
these are super cool.
Worth checking out. Instagram.com/devilsdamecreations. All right.
Nice.
Here's your first news story, Brian.
Yes.
This is all over the place, so this is not new now. This is old news. But this dude that got arrested for taking off all his clothes and jumping into a Bass Pro Shop pond in Leeds. No, not England.
Not England. Leeds, Alabama.
Leeds, Alabama. Hoping England would hop in and help us out here and not.
That would be great, right?
Yeah. That'd be awesome. Yeah. Need some British.
Well, speaking of England, by the way, hey, Zoe, can you hook me up with a set of those Spice Girls stamps? Those new ones that just came out? Can
hold
we talk?
Hold on. What are these? Let's tell me more. What do we got?
It just came out because it's the gasp 30th anniversary of the Spice Girls.
Oh, my Lord. Okay.
Yeah. They just came out with a first issue series of the of Spice Girls stamps. It's just basically like one of each of them and then a few group shots. And
Here they are. Now, are these these are stamps in the States? Or
they're stamps no, in the UK.
Okay, these are Royal Mail stamps, they call them.
Royal Mail stamps. So if I lived in the UK, I could use these to ship something from Clapham Junction up to... to Chatham.
Yeah.
But no, not here in the US. Can't send anything internationally with the US.
They have them all dated underneath and they tell you when this shot was taken. They're just photos, it looks like.
Yeah, and if you want to bring them to Vegas, that'd be great. Or if you the stamps, by the way, not the Spice Girls, although, you know, we'll take the Spice Girls anyway. Sure. But if weight is an issue, you can just peel off the posh stamp and leave that somewhere if that takes the weight below the required amount you need.
Got it. Yeah, because you got to get under the wire somehow, and that's maybe the way to do it.
Yeah, just leave off posh.
Yeah, fine. Leave posh. And she seems fine being left off.
Leave Bex. So. Just drop Bex off of there.
Yeah, she'll be fine.
Yeah, I'll buy you a Baconator, Zoe.
Oh, wow. That's quite the exchange.
It is.
All right, do it. I want to see these in Vegas now. I don't need them, but Brian does. All right? Get that done. Anyway, this dude takes all his clothes off, jumps into a pro bass shop pond.
Oh, yeah. Right.
In Leeds. And boy, was he happy. He was just happy to be in there.
Holy cow. Yeah.
I don't know why he was so happy. I'm not going to show this on screen, but the guy basically...
Like fully naked.
Yeah, naked.
You know...
But it felt like
dropping to the skivvies, but
it felt like I was looking at nothing because the guy, it's a cold water.
shrinkage, Jerry.
Yeah, he had some serious shrinkage. I was in the I was in the Bass Pro Shop container. I was trying to do George and it off railed. But this is a 42-year-old man named, let's see. Oh, no, I'm sorry. This is not him. Yes, it is him.
We have his name. It is George. George
Owens. His name, George Owens. There it is.
George Owens.
42-year-old man had intentionally struck a pole in the parking lot with his family car. Then he ran inside, took off all his clothes, and jumped into a Bass Pro Shop pond. And this is a really nice-looking pond.
Yeah, every store has one of these in the middle of the store. It's a really nice, like, it's got a waterfall, and it is professional aquarium, like when you go to an aquarium.
Right.
You know, like you go to the Monterey Aquarium, you go to the Denver Aquarium, places like that. It is that level of quality of decor and viewing and fish inside it. Like, it's really cool.
It almost looks like Casa Bonita's sort of diver stuff, diver tanks,
kind of
thing. It's very
still waiting, by the way. Casa Bonita is still waiting for my invite.
Oh yeah, what's the deal
still
there?
Still going on.
Open?
Still going on, but it's open, but it's invite only from the mailing list.
All right.
And what we've heard from one of Tina's friends who did go, who got to go, is that it was $100 per person.
Just to do anything? To eat?
To eat. Like, all told, at the end of the meal, their meal, drink, they're limited, no unlimited sopapillas anymore, 2 sopapillas. It was $100 per person.
That's a lot.
Wes, you guys went a month ago. What did you pay?
Yeah, I'd be curious if it was any less.
It's less, because that would tick me off.
That's a lot to expect out of the whole point of Casa Bonita, was that it was sort of cheap, right? That was the idea.
Well, no, it was always expensive. It was, but it was 24 basically you had to, oh, that's not bad. $39 for the meal. That's not bad at all. Okay.
Yeah, that's better than $100. Not dad pay that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's worth it. Get a couple of people in there.
And when did you get on the mailing list, Wes?
Yeah, because you're screwed on that point.
Yeah, so it's like, so $39 now. So yeah, it used to be like $24. You had to buy a meal to get in the door. Okay. You couldn't just say, I'm going to go in and just sit and have drinks and a sopapilla. Right. You have to buy a meal to get in the door. Right. And it was like $24 on average for those.
Okay, so $39, not bad.
That's not bad at all, yeah.
It's about the same. I feel like that's about as much as everything else in food went up in restaurants during the last few years anyway. But it sounds like it's still, like, does anyone get any shots of inside? Is it packed? Is it controlled packed? Like, because they're only doing this from a list? You have to wait in some kind of line? I don't know.
I'll bet it's control packed because they're probably just sending out enough invites to not have a line so that you basically go and you order your food and not have to wait in a line at the entrance.
I mean, we're bound to have some listeners who are like, why is this a big deal? This is Trey Parker and Matt Stone's place. They featured it on the show a bunch of times.
Improved the food.
Right. Saved it, basically, because it was going out of business or whatever, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It was, they were going to go under. They filed for bankruptcy, and these guys saved it because they had that episode where Cartman goes there and does each of the things you do in Casa Bonita.
I guess I should say, for those who don't watch South Park, these are the South Park creators, Trey Parker and Matt Stone, just in case someone out there has no idea what the hell we're talking about.
Well, I mean, hell, I was handed cookies by the guys and I didn't freaking recognize them because they look so different now than they used to. When I remember seeing them in the 90s, they look like just dudes now. Dudes.
They look like dudes our age because they are. Yeah. They look like back in their basketball days, they look like, you know.
Right.
Rough young people, but not now.
Exactly. Yep.
Trey Parker's got a couple of chins since then. Anyway, haven't we all? Let's move on to this. The dude is naked in there. They pull him out. He flops out of the thing. Well, he actually pulled himself out, flopped out on the floor, looked like he got hurt, but he wasn't. I think he's just on drugs or really drunk. And they carted him off. He became a really fun meme for a couple of days. And we hope the people of Leeds can get over it, you know.
Get over it, Leeds.
Just get over it. It's another one of your, you know, it's one of your things. It's what you do. But this is funny because we kind of back to back this. A week ago, we had that story in the bass shop with the guy stealing fish.
Yes, right. Exactly. And it's Bass Pro, by the way, not Pro Bass.
What did I say? Pro Bass Shop?
Pro Bass Shop.
That would imply the fish are the pros, doesn't it?
They're the pro fish. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
they're not anti. They're pro.
Yeah, they're pro fish.
Yes.
They're not exactly. Con fish. They're pro fish.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And people were talking about how in, where was it? Someplace where the Bass Pro Shop parking lot is where you park to then get a ride to the airport because it's cheaper than parking at the airport.
Oh, really? You can just park there?
And they apparently don't care if you leave your car there.
Oh, that seems, and that must be a small number because otherwise that would be a problem, right? If it was too many. It would
definitely be a problem. Yeah, if they start noticing that there's a crap ton of cars in the parking lot with people getting their luggage out and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, we have a couple places that are scattered around town. Maybe I have this wrong, but I think you can park at one of the two or three of the track stations, which is our light rail system.
Yeah.
You can park there, get on the tracks, go the rest of the way downtown into the airport and then fly and leave your car there. Or maybe you used to be able to do that. Maybe you can't now. I can't remember what the deal was. But usually we do, when Kim and I go to the airport, it's usually we'll just do long-term parking because we don't really have too many people. We want to, like, you know, have them take us. There are people that
I
would.
Know, exactly.
I just
people
hate it.
Take you to the airport, but yeah.
I hate making people do things, so I usually don't do that.
We're not too far from the light rail station, so we'll sometimes do that. Like you said, the tracks, we'll sometimes do the light rail, but that adds an extra hour onto your getting to the airport on time kind of thing. It's
if you
already
got
an early flight, the last thing you want to do is get up so you can get on the train at 5 in the morning.
Ugh. Ugh. That sounds miserable. I hate it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hate early flights. Well, anyway, here's what you would be arrested for if you, Brian, jumped into this thing naked. Okay.
Okay. All right. Tell me.
Those are the charges. The man who has since been identified as George Jones was taken into custody and charged with public lewdness, number one.
Check.
That's your, that's, you know, pants off.
That's your naked Ken doll, smooth like a dolphin, lower nethers.
Exactly. Yeah. That guy, I don't know. I'm glad he was drunk and having a good time. Let's just say it that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's see. Disorderly conduct. Sure. Didn't feel like a very orderly piece of conduct. Assault in the second degree. I think that's maybe the car.
Could be.
Crash.
Yeah. Or he maybe fought somebody as he was, as they were trying to pull him out.
I think he, well, so he flops out on his own.
Yeah. Oh, he did. Okay.
But then he's just laying there on the ground like a wet fish. Yeah. And then then all these guys swarm around him and help him up. As far as I know, he didn't resist, but who knows what that is. Oh, it says here, resisting arrest. So he must have resisted somehow. So that's another count. And then two counts of reckless endangerment and two counts of criminal mischief. I like that one. You're up to some mischief there, son.
Ah, quit your mischief.
Yeah, that's some dark business. All right, moving on to this story. And we'll keep you updated, everybody, if things change for old 42-year-old George Owens. All right?
There you go. Yeah. Good.
Some riders were trapped in the world's tallest roller coaster after a scarf gets stuck in a wheel. This is one of my worst nightmares. I hate this idea so much.
God, geez.
Yeah, I already don't like heights, but the thing I'll deal with roller coasters is when you hit the highest height, usually the first one where it's kind of easing you up there and then drops. That's all very intense and everything, but I also know how temporary it is. It's not going to last the whole ride.
Right.
So I'm usually okay with that, even though I hate heights so much. But if you're telling me I'm stuck up there because some yahoo got his scarf stuck in the gears, I'd want to die. That sounds
well,
awful.
And it feels like she's lucky that it just got stuck as opposed to started pulling her neck towards the wheels like a hungry escalator or something.
Ugh. Can you imagine?
You got that visualization. Right?
I don't like any of those things. Although I have seen some fail videos where I'm assured people lived, where I was sure they wouldn't. Like guy working in a factory in China where they're wrapping things with huge plastic wheels. Or, big wheels that have clear cellophane plastic on them.
Oh,
and then they wrap these things. And it's like an industrial wrapper. which sounds like a really hard working rhymer, someone who rhymes in the same songs.
I'm an industrial rapper.
That's right. But this video I saw, this guy was like just doing his rounds, had his hard hat on, checking machinery, would occasionally reach into one of these spools and flick out something, like maybe a little something got in there. No problem. Moves on to the next one, goes to flick it. His wrist or something on his sleeve or something gets caught in this thing, and it just proceeds to wrap him up like Frodo in the second movie.
Like Shelob.
Shelob goes like that before anyone comes over there to help the poor guy. And he's like a limb sticking out of this thing. And he walked away. He walked away in the video. So I think he's okay. But man,
that's good. Jeez. If somebody hadn't seen that, man, he could have been like a kind of asphyxiated in that thing.
Right. Calamity. Or he'd be like when you find a rat in your McNuggets or whatever. They just get in during the process. Imagine being on the other end. You're in Singapore and they've offloaded a huge container full of goods and you're going through them going, all right, that's a couch. That's a couch. That's a couch. That's a guy wrapped in a couch. And he's starting to rot, you know.
That couch comes with a potato.
Oh, gosh, dude. It comes with its own potato. Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
Jeez.
Don't be doing that. What happened here is thrill seekers riding one of the world's tallest roller coasters. I said earlier it was the tallest, just one of the tallest. Got stuck after a loose scarf became entangled in one of the train's wheels. The movie World Ride in Australia's Gold Coast came to a halt. Lucky Phil, maybe. I don't know if he lives anywhere near this.
Yeah.
Let's see. Came to a halt on the left hill.
Roller coasters will kill you.
Yeah, murder you.
We have five of the deadliest roller coasters around the world.
Your illness has contributing to that voice.
It's a little bit. Helping. Yeah, it's added to the voice. Yeah.
I like it. Footage taken by Mary Deanne Yap. It's a great last name. Yap. Shows rider operators attending to the ride, which can be sped up to 115 miles per hour or kilometers per hour. That's a fast ride. Miss Yap, age 24, says, just looking at them was nerve-wracking, to be honest, especially as I am afraid of heights. In a statement, Warner Brothers Movie World, I guess this is a Warner Brothers joint. I'd never heard of that before, but whatever. Said a control system was used to safely stop the ride and confirmed all passengers have been taken off safely. So they have ways of dealing with it. But this is one of my worst nightmares, getting stuck either upside down on a ride that high or at the very tip top of the thing, which is what happened here. I can't even.
Yeah, this is basically they're going up the thing to get to that first hill.
Yeah.
The so they stopped it before they actually went on the ride. But that's the see, then you've got this whole thing of like, all right, how do we get all these people off who have to now go down these precarious looking stairs and ladders and
your backup get off it system is scarier than the ride.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's something to tell your kids, but I don't want to do it.
It's on the ride operators. They should have like said, oh yeah, no loose clothing, scarves. Usually they do that, right? Like if you've got loose clothing or objects, put them in the little cubby holes or put them in the little bag that's in front of your seat or something.
Yeah.
But she should have been, you know, she should have been smart about not wearing a scarf to on a roller coaster.
Any,
but also
any loose stuff
the
like
operators.
That. Yeah.
Operators should have been like, ma'am, you cannot wear that scarf.
Yeah.
Roll it. Take it off.
Unless she had it. I wonder if you could wear it in a way that looked like if you're wearing a coat and you got a scarf just under the collar and it's wrapped really tightly up to your neck, maybe people wouldn't even know it was a scarf.
Yeah, but if it's wrapped up tightly around your neck, then it's not going to be loose and flopping around catching in wheels.
That's true. Yeah. You know what? I blame the teenagers you have hired over there at the World, what is it?
Movie World Ride. Never heard of this amusement park.
But it's Warner Brothers, so who knows? Maybe it's, what do you guys... here's the Matrix. Here's the Matrix section. Whee! And then here's the Bugs Bunny stuff. I don't know how that works.
That's right. Lucky Phil says, the Gold Coast is only 8 hours and 53 minutes away from him. So other side
of the country. It's a bit of a ride.
And that's on the west side, right?
That's about 2 hours shy of me driving to Brian's house.
Yeah, he's in Sydney. Gold Coast is in Queensland. Okay.
Okay. There you have it then. Here's a story you'll like.
Yeah,
well, I don't know if you like it or not, but a child in Auburn.
I'll be the judge of that.
Okay, you know what? You judge this.
Yeah.
Let's see if I can find this. There we go. Child at Auburn school finds jar of cocaine on the playground.
Jar of cocaine.
And then
it's preserves or something.
Yeah, I know. Like somebody left a... that's a good point. It's a weird way of saying it. Maybe it was just a straight up jar and there's no other word for it, but... The weird thing to keep your cocaine in. Yeah. Anyway, he ended up tasting the powder as well because he was curious.
Good. Because he watched Cocaine Bear and watched those two little kids in Cocaine Bear. The first thing they do is start tasting the cocaine.
Yeah, it's what kids do. They love it. They can't wait to put their finger in there. A jar of cocaine was found on a playground by a student at the Auburn Elementary School last week, according to a letter sent out to families of students of Evergreen Heights Elementary. The student found the powder in a glass jar and tasted its contents. Testing done by the Auburn Police Department determined that the powder was indeed cocaine. Cocaine. The child was okay.
If you want to get down.
The child was okay, but at this point, it's unclear how the jar got there in the first place. We bring this to your attention, says this quote, because it is a great time to remind your students they should never eat, drink, or inhale something unless it comes from a trusted adult. I'm not even sure you'd say that.
Something that they find in a jar on the playground?
Yeah.
A nondescript, like, the first thing you think of is to taste it? What about rat poison? Or maybe it could have been something far worse than cocaine. My God.
Yeah, I don't know. I wish they could talk to the kid. They won't because he's a minor and you're not going to do that. But I would love it. I would love to know the mindset of a kid who's, let's say he's 8 years old.
Yeah.
That's about the time for this.
Yeah, right.
And if I saw a glass jar out in the, you know, during recess, and I see that it's full of a powder, what are my instincts? Are they to grab it or go near it at all? Is it to grab it, take it to a teacher? Mm-hmm. Is it to just ignore it because whatever, it's just more trash? Or would I open that thing and taste it thinking it's like sugar or something?
Yeah. It feels like of all of the paths, the multiverse of paths that you could take.
Yeah.
The last one is I'm going to open it up and taste it.
I agree.
It's like, I'm going to ignore it. I'm going to take it to a teacher.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I agree with this. This is a dumb thing for you to do, even if you're 8. All right, so I'm judging.
What powder? What was he hoping it was? Like Country Time lemonade mix or something like that? Or
that's so specific. I love that.
Lick'em stick powder or something?
Could be. I think they maybe thought it was like powdered sugar. Maybe their mom makes powdered sugar donuts or something, and they were like, ooh, it's like that stuff my mom makes. I don't know. I would never do it. But then again, when you're eight, what do you do when you're eight? I don't know. I don't want to judge this kid, but his parents may want to spend some time.
Go over the rules. Go over what you do when you find a nondescript jar of powder.
Yeah, somewhere. I promise there's a better path for this kid if you can just help him out. Final story. This is great because Florida, we love to hear about what you're doing. You know, we love you.
I don't know how that Bass Pro Shop wasn't in Florida, but whatever.
Yeah. I mean, close, but not quite, right? Exactly. An exploding toilet at a Dunkin's in Florida left a customer filthy and injured, according to a lawsuit. I would think that this would be the natural thing. If a toilet exploded, you would go away filthy. But let's see what they say.
As opposed to the regular filthy and injured you get at a Dunkin'. This is the toilet variety.
Just using their toilet in general. Which I would not do unless I had to. I really wouldn't. I avoid public bathrooms when possible. I'll use them if I need to, though. It's fine.
Yeah.
If I gotta go, I'm in a mall. It's fine. Whatever. Let's go get it over with. But I'm not choosing to. I don't want to. Nobody should want to. Anyway, here's what happened. A customer has filed a negligence lawsuit against Duncan, claiming he was injured by a exploding toilet as one of the coffee chain's locations in Central Florida, or in one of those. Paul Kerouac?
Sorry, I was pulling up the song. Kerouac, yeah. That's exactly how you spell Kerouac.
Is that like Jack Kerouac? Same guy?
Yep.
Or same name?
It's exactly, same name.
Same guy. Same exact guy in the story
same
today.
Same guy, yeah. Destroyed by Paul now.
Yeah. Mr.
That's
Paul
the name
Kerouac.
He decided to change. He's like, oh man, people keep recognizing me as Jack Kerouac. I'm going to change my name to Paul.
Yeah, the one that doesn't rhyme or sound as good coming out of my mouth.
Right, right.
Anyway, seeking more than $100,000 in a lawsuit filed Wednesday in the state of Orlando. State court of Orlando. There is no state of Orlando.
It's debatable.
Yeah, that's true. Claiming he suffered severe and long-term injuries following the explosion of a toilet in a men's room in a Dunkin' location in Winter Park. This is about a year ago. After the explosion, he left covered in human feces, urine, and debris.
Oh.
How did he determine what the debris was?
That is not the Boston cream you want to walk out of there.
No. No. Nobody wants debris either because that's so undefined.
Debris. Yeah, debris is like the worst. You're like, human feces, urine. Oh, and debris.
And debris.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Debris.
Yeah. That's French cheese, by the way. Debris.
Right. Go ahead. I was going to say, there's no information here about what caused the toilet to explode.
No. In fact, here's my guess.
I love this next paragraph, though. I mean, we do need to read that.
All right, I'll read it. Here it goes. When contacted Thursday by email for
The one before that.
All right, let's see. The employee told him.
Yes.
Sought help from the workers and the store manager. So he's limping out of there, covered in poop,
ready
to whatever. An employee told him that they were aware of the, quote, problem with the toilet, unquote, since there had been previous incidents, the lawyer says, without diving into further details about the explosion.
Right. So, that toilet always explodes. Dang, we need to put a sign. We need to put a sign on the exploding toilet, boss.
Well, that's why it gives me more questions than answers, though.
Totally does. Exactly.
Like, what is an explosion in their mind? How are you defining it?
Is it just, is the porcelain intact? It just spews out its contents? Because I would say that's probably some sort of satanic possession of a toilet.
Yeah.
We keep replacing that porcelain toilet. It keeps exploding.
Yeah. And when they say explode, do they mean the porcelain explodes? It's truly an explosion? Or is it just a gusher? Some sort of plumbing thing?
Expelling its contents at a forceful rate.
Yeah. Because when he says debris, I could say, is that toilet ceramics?
Debris.
Or is that plastic from the bowl? Or is that? Or are you saying paper products and other? I don't know what you're saying.
Oh, sure. The debris could be the paper.
Yeah. Right. So I just feel like this
paper.
I hope they have the details right if he wants his money. Otherwise, this is all a little too vague.
Yeah. Yeah.
But good luck, Kerouac, and your toilet problem. We're going to take a break. When we come back from this break, we will get to hang out with Amy. It's been a month and maybe a little because we had the holidays. And so I feel like we're due for a little reading.
We are due for books.
Yeah.
Due for books.
We're due for books. Our books are due is what we're saying at the library here with Amy. So we're going to do all of that. But before we do, Brian brought a song.
I did. Yes. So we're going up to Alberta for this one, a rock trio named Royal Tusk. They're about to go on a Northern Light co-headline tour with Broken Love across Canada from February 20th through March 16th. So you can go see them. They're going to Vancouver, Kelowna, Calgary, Edmonton, Saskatoon, Winnipeg, Montreal, Ottawa, and Toronto, which are all just like in one little tiny cluster. As we know with our Canadian geography.
Sure.
This is their brand new third full-length album. It's called Altruistic. Comes out next month. Here's the first song from it. It's called Here On Out. Here's Royal Tusk.
Haven't you already had enough? Yeah. Say, haven't you already? Haven't you already had enough? Somebody should have told you give it up. All the things that you could ever love, you lost. It's time to walk away. Some people are there born without a look, and you're not in the perfect little club. Don't you down so they can level up and up. But this is where you'll stay.
Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Impressions of our Earth from space. Swirls of blue and white and green, illuminated sharply against a black background. A distant, cold beauty.
As the beaver swims.
And we're back. Tell me about that song again.
Sure. That is the band called Royal Tusk from their brand new album called Altruistic. That is Here On Out.
Nice. Sounds very, I don't know, generous of them if they're being altruistic about their album naming.
Very, very nice of that band. Yes,
yeah,
exactly.
I agree. Do good things. All right. Oops. Crap. Hold on. Join call. All right. I effed up and called her funny. Let me try that again. Red Fraggle, there she is. Okay, now she's coming into our little group of happy times.
Yay.
Let's get her in here and let's play her intro if I can find the damn thing. Oh, I'm all off here. Here we go.
One of the things that I enjoy also is reading.
Well, we also enjoy reading also. And we like to do it with our friend Amy Robinson, aka Red Fraggle 3. She is here to talk about some books today. Amy, welcome back to the show.
Oh, good morning, friends.
Good morning.
How are
morning.
You?
Fine.
Oh,
how are you?
Fantastic.
How have you been? How were your holidays and all that?
Oh, my holidays were nice. It was kind of low key, you know. We were all kind of relaxed. There was no big excitement, but also no big drama. So that's good.
That is really good. That's how you want it. Right?
Yeah. Got to chill and hang out with my son who's been away at college. So that was fun.
Yeah.
And so good times.
How's that going for him? Is he on the dean's list? Is he what's his deal there at college? Is it working out?
No.
Oh,
poor
okay.
kid. Like, he struggled his first semester because we discovered, I'll just go ahead and HIPAA violate him. He discovered that he has ulcerative colitis, which is like kind of a cousin of Crohn's disease. It's not nice. And it's one of those like chronic things that you have for the rest of your life. But he struggled with that. Like, his whole first semester, we were in like the diagnosing it phase. And so he was just...
That's a
poor
lot.
Poor kid was always on the toilet. Poor
yeah,
kid.
That's bad. You ulcerative know? Colitis is a wrecking ball. There was a time where I had a friend who had it, and it was just you could tell how miserable he was all the time dealing with that. He's had some good doctors, pretty good doctors since, and some therapy stuff is working for him. I know it can be different for everybody, but I hope he feels better. That sucks. I hate that.
Yeah, he's gotten treatment started and he seems to mostly feel better. It'll take a little while to get to an equilibrium with it. But I'll tell you what, the therapy that they've got him on is super expensive.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I'll bet.
It's like 25 grand per shot kind of thing.
Oh, really?
Bananas.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
That's too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's crazy.
I'm going to go ahead and say that's too much money and we should do better with things like that.
It's all Martin Shkreli's fault.
Yep.
It's all his fault.
We'll blame him for all the drugs that are too expensive. I like that. Anyway, it's good to have you here. We're gonna learn how to turn our reading minds back on for 2024 today. And tell us what we've got here. You've sent me two clips, so I want to make sure I do these in whatever order you would like.
I did, yeah. So they have a underscore one and an underscore two, so we can go with underscore one first.
Wow, that sounds great.
Perfectly named.
Yep.
Yeah, it's a really difficult code to crack there.
It really is. Let me see if I can see the number. Oh, there they are. Okay, yeah, I do have numbers on these files. Here we go. Let's play the first one, and you can tell us all about it. Here we go.
If only the old man would start writing again. Pick up a pen, a pencil, a typewriter, a stick to write in the sand. Anything. Hugo would even take dictation if Jack asked him to. And he had offered. Please, for the love of God, Charles Dickens and Ray Bradbury. he'd said to Jack as recently as yesterday. Write something. Anything. Wasting talent like yours is like burning a pile of money in front of a poorhouse. It's cruel and it stinks. Millions of children out there, and former children too, would weep with joy if Jack Masterson ever published a new book about Clock Island and the mysterious Master Mastermind who lived in the shadows and granted wishes to brave children. Jack's publisher regularly sent boxes of fan mail to the house, thousands of children urging Jack to write again. SOS, those letters begged. Save our stories.
What was the name of the book? What, the island that they said?
Clock Island.
Okay, I could have sworn they dropped the F-bomb and said it was called F Island. I don't know why I heard that.
Well, I mean, you know, it could just drop the L there and it would also be dirty.
Right, it would also be, but, yeah, just as bad.
Yeah, yeah. Good point. Tell me
That's
what we're hearing there.
It's a different island. Dana Delaney lives on that island. It's a whole different thing.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yeah, so... The name of this book is The Wishing Game by Meg Schaefer. And this was a charming little story. I think I picked this one up off of Book Talk. And, you know, I just got it somehow onto my TBR. And so I read it. And it's a charming little story. It's basically this aging author who lives on an island with the illustrator of his books. And he's taken to not writing anymore, but he's one of these really prolific children's writers, and he suddenly decides that he's gonna kind of be a Willy Wonka for grown-ups and invites a bunch of kids who once tried to run away to live with him on Clock Island, sort of their golden ticket to come and play his games and try and win a fantastic prize.
I like I like Rachel Jacobs, the narrator. I've heard her before, and she's pretty great. Does it hold up?
So I like her voice when she's just reading or doing American characters. She cannot do a British accent to save her life. Like her like the more of Hugo's dialogue she does, you heard a little bit of it there in that clip.
Yeah.
I just laugh. It sounds like Brian trying to do an Australian accent. It's so bad. I mean, like, at least when Brian's doing at least when Brian's doing it, he's meaning to sound Australian.
And meaning it to sound, right? Yeah,
like,
right,
yeah,
right.
And like, but she's and got mocking, like this yes. gruff thing going, like she just gravels in the back of her throat and, you know, that kind of thing. It's like, right. I don't know, maybe she watched a little too much Ted Lasso and decided to try and be Roy. I don't know. But that part of it bugged me. But other than that, yes, like she does a fine job narrating the story. I thought it was a charming little book. It's not, you know, it's not mind blowing. It's not earth shattering, but it was a fun read. I got pretty good invested in the characters and I enjoyed it.
Nice.
I enjoyed it.
Check it out. That's The Wishing Game. I'm looking at it on Instagram, freaking Amazon. And they've got every version you want. It's all up there.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's your deal. It's highly rated too. So it looks
it's a charming story. I did read, I always, whenever I'm prepping to do this bit, I go and I look at Goodreads and I look at the people who give it one star just to see, you know, because I'm not going to come on here and tell you about a book that I think is one star other than like, I might give you a little blip and just say, hey, this book, I didn't like it, you know, that it won't be my whole segment or anything. But yeah, so I always go and see what people say. So some of the people with this book, they had a decent point. There's a plot line with like a teacher's aide, like a kindergarten teacher's aide, who really, like, she has just fallen in love with this little boy, not like romantically, but like wants to foster him, right? He's an orphan and she wants desperately to foster him, doesn't have the money, can't support him, you know, but she tutors him and they get along really well. And some of the reviews on there have a good point about how, like, maybe it's not so appropriate for her to be promising that she'll adopt him or whatever, but when she knows she can't keep that promise. And I'm like, it's a story, y'all. Like, you must be fun at parties, you know?
Yeah.
like it's a story. Just go with the story.
People get hung up on weird stuff, man. You know, stuff that is just not, I don't know, that big a deal. I could share a story, but I won't because I know the person listens to the show. But I had like a whole thing about something so dumb end up in a conversation. And it really just came down to, some people are grumpy and just want to express it, you know? And I feel like that's what happens here sometimes with books and reviews.
I mean, they have a fair point. Like, some of it was like, you know, she lets him sit in her lap and stuff like that. And it's like, she's still sort of working as in a capacity of being his teacher, you know? And so, like, I mean, they're not wrong. They're just a bummer for no reason, I think. Mm-hmm. but that's me. But
yeah. This is only her second book, by the way. Meg Schaefer's written another book called Lost Story. Other than that, she's still kind of new and a lot of excitement around her work. So check it out.
Yeah.
Tell us about our next little clip here we have.
So the next one is the one that Brian mentioned having a picture of his cat on the front. I think that in actuality that is the author's cat, but you know, if you read this book, you might want to be a little careful what you say in front of Inara there.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Okay.
So, all right.
Yeah.
Let's play it and find out. Whoops.
It's got a little... Thus it was, as I was preparing my peanut butter on toast, I heard the name Jake Baldwin from the iPad I had running on the kitchen island. I stopped mid-peanut butter spread, knife in hand, as co-host Andrew Ross Sorkin announced that my Uncle Jake, reclusive billionaire owner of the third largest chain of parking structures in North America, had died of pancreatic cancer at the age of 67. "Are you hearing this?" I said to my breakfast partner, who was not my wife Janine because she was no longer my wife and no longer living with me. She was now back in her hometown of Boston, dating an investment banker, and if her Instagram account was to be believed, spending most of her time being well-lit in enviable vacation spots around the globe. My breakfast partner was Hera, an orange and white cat who, after I had retreated to my childhood home after the divorce and layoff, had emerged from the backyard bushes and informed me through meowing that she lived with me now.
Wow. obviously, Will Wheaton in there.
Will Wheaton.
Yeah.
Doing his thing there. I only know John Scalzi's science fiction stuff, and that doesn't sound like that's what this is. Or is it really not.
It's got a couple of science fiction-y elements to it, but it's mostly not a science fiction novel. This book is called Starter Villain, and essentially, this guy, Charlie, who is the narrator, he comes into a bunch of money through his rich uncle, Jake, who apparently was one of the world's richest supervillains. and then, you know, along with it came all the problems of being a supervillain. And the science fiction-y part comes in when there are intelligent animals. And I'll just say that because I don't want to spoil. If you read the blurb to the book, they spoiler a good bit of it.
I'm seeing those now, so I won't read those either. But this sounds hilarious. Is it as funny as it sounds?
It is. It's quite funny. I enjoyed it. It's a fun romp. I literally read it. I started reading it on Saturday, finished it on Sunday. It's a really short, I didn't have much to do the rest of the day because you know, everybody was out. It was just me in the house. And so I was like, whoo, you know, and while I was doing other things, I'm listening to Will Wheaton tell me this story.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's a quick book and it was a fun little ride and it's very self-contained. I'll put it that way.
Nice.
So. Yeah. It's very, so it sounds like it's in the same realm as, or not realm, but same feel as Dungeon Crawler Carl. As a matter of fact, people who bought this also bought Dungeon Crawler Carl. So in that same kind of
it's
satire or maybe not satire, but
It's got that tongue placed firmly in cheek.
Good.
Well, Scalzi's a good writer for that stuff, even in No Man's War, which was fairly serious. No Man's War. Old Man's War is fairly serious. It still had this like kind of biting, I don't know, not really, man, kind of commentary, I guess, but I love that kind of stuff from him. He's a very good author and worth checking out. I keep hearing good things about Kaiju Preservation Society, but I haven't picked
that
it up.
That one is great. I think I reviewed that one on the show
Did
last year.
Did you do it here? Oh, I don't remember that. That's great.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's the same because obviously it's a completely different story, but it's got the same like kind of arc to it. It's self-contained. It's a quick little popcorn book. It's easy to read. It's not gonna, you know, require a lot from you to read it. You just go on a ride.
That's awesome. Quick note about stuff we like in common. Hugh Howey, who did the Silo series, which had a very successful first season on TV and all that now, and the books are amazing. And you and I are reading them simultaneously a while back. He announced on somewhere, one of the social media things, that he is currently writing a whole new novel set in the Silo universe. And he says he's very far along. So I'm very excited for whatever the hell that
is. Yay. Yeah, I have a couple other things that are like... you know, like Audible freebies, and some of them were Hugh Howey. Yeah, like let me see, Machine Learning is available. Oh no, I would have to spend a credit on that. Never mind. But yeah, it's a collection of stories by Hugh Howey. But yeah, there's a bunch of stuff out there from him, and I'm like, I want it all.
Yeah,
I will read it all.
Something about his style just really grabbed me, and always, I mean, I love all his books, but very excited to see whatever's next from him. Oh yeah. Here it is. Same. Machine Learning. I hadn't heard of this either. Let's see. Oh, this looks good. This just came out, right? Oh no, it's 2017. It's been a bit, but still I would like to check this out. Some incredible fiction, says the first review. Cool. All right. Excellent. Well, there you have it. Go check these out. The Scalzi book once again is called Where to Go.
Starter Villain.
Yep. And Brian, you're going to put these up on quicktms.li.
Already there. Yep.
Awesome. So go to quicktms.li, everybody. You can find her picks every time we have them. Amy, it's so fun hanging out with you. I hope you're doing well, and can't wait to do it again.
I am. Well, hopefully, you know, I had to have a toenail removed yesterday. So my toe is like super sore.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah. I mean, the actual removal was fine because I was all numbed up. But let me tell you,
a Russian mobster with pliers or anything.
Hope not.
No, but okay. Let me tell you, like, if you ever have to have that done, you know, as much as nobody likes going to the dentist and having to have a cavity filled or whatever, and that, you know, get the shot there. So if you have to have one of those shots in your toe, so much worse.
Oh yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It's a million times worse. Try getting one in your heel. I had to do that once. It was terrible.
Oh yeah.
Terrible.
I know, it's awful. Like, I think it's because there's so many nerve endings in your feet, you know? And so, oh my God. But yeah, she kept having to give me more of it to get my toe totally numb, which I was glad she did. Don't get me wrong, but dang, it hurt.
Are you slow? When you go to the dentist, are you slow to numb when they do your face shots and stuff? Or do you numb up pretty good?
I think I numb up pretty quickly. Although, like, when I had my wisdom teeth were weird. Like, I had to get my wisdom teeth out, and I had a dentist who, like, didn't put you under for that, which if I could go back and change that, I would be like, no, I want to go to someone who's going to just knock me out.
Actually, now that you say that, I did the same thing. I didn't know I had the option. They gave me happy gas, but they didn't put me out for it. I hated it.
Yeah, same. And I, you know, like, my bottom two were really badly impacted, and I felt every bit of it. And my favorite thing is when the dentist tries to tell you, oh, that's not pain, it's pressure. And I'm like, here,
I can tell the difference.
Let me quickly punch you in the face and you tell me, is it pain or pressure?
Yeah, you kick him in the nuts and walk away and go, you'll be fine. That's just pressure. You'll be fine.
It's just pressure.
Damn, so, dude. I'm glad you had it done, because obviously stuff like that needs to be done, but I do not envy the process. That sucks.
Not pleasant. Yeah. But we are very excited. We had a meeting a couple days ago. Some of you may have seen in the Discord where I kind of announced that Chuck and I would probably not be able to come to Vegas this year, which we're we're very sad about that. But the reason for it is really good. So we have an opportunity to do three interrelated puppet show pieces in a festival called Experimental Puppetry Theater here in Atlanta. Yeah. So if you're in the Atlanta area, like right after Vegas, it's May 1st through the 5th, I believe. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Then if you're anywhere near there, I totally recommend coming and seeing the show. We're waiting to hear back from the director if our pieces got accepted, because if they did, then we're going to get, like, you know, some small amounts of money to actually produce the show. And then, you know, then we make this into a real thing, you know? And
so it'd be like a stage thing. Is that the whole deal up in front of people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And XPT is like, it's a curated set of short form puppetry pieces, and they're all, it's an 18 and over show. So it's not, you know, it's not Sesame Street. It's all about kind of pushing the envelope, kind of doing something that you haven't done before or that maybe hasn't been tried before. A lot of the pieces are just kind of weird. Some of them are really artsy. It's kind of like, I would say if you like stuff like Meow Wolf, where it's really strange, also kind of funny and, you know, like, and visually engaging, XPT is definitely something you would enjoy seeing. And, you know, they do it every year. We've never done it because when I first learned about it, my kids were like 6 and 4. And it's a whole other full-time job to produce one of these shows.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, okay, well, that's just not feasible right now. I can't do it. Well, now, you know, my oldest is in college and my youngest is a junior in high school and driving herself places and stuff. So, yeah, you know, now's the time. So we're crossing our fingers. I will announce it as soon as I know. But okay. Yeah,
I hate that you're missing TMS, or they're potentially missing TMS Vegas. But if there's any good reason to do it, this is an incredible opportunity, incredible reason. So
yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Let us know as the Tadpool mob if there's anything we can do to help.
Yeah.
Yes, I definitely will. I may actually be hitting you up for like 3D printed stuff. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, absolutely.
But yeah,
I'll get on a lot faster than I did your stamp.
My stamp.
Yeah.
That's cool. So we will know. We should know by this weekend. I was hoping to know by today, but we're not. We don't know yet. But we will know by this weekend if our pieces got accepted. And then we'll go from there. So, and you know, I mean, I guess if you want to be a bright side about it, if they don't get accepted, then we're coming to Vegas. So,
all right,
you know,
either way, it's a win. Yeah, it's a win-win. Let me ask you a question. I've always wanted to ask a puppetry person.
Yes,
puppets and marionettes, are they allowed in the same conversation? Are they part of the same world? They are. Okay, so marionetting could even happen at this event, you're saying? People may do that?
Oh, yeah, it definitely does. Marionettes are one of the hardest puppetry art forms just because it's so difficult to, you know, manipulate something with strings and really give it emotion. You know, it's really difficult. They're unwieldy and they don't travel well, right? Like you got strings everywhere. It's really hard to move them around, but absolutely there are marionettes. We have a marionettist who regularly does pieces in the Atlanta Puppet Slam as well. And he does amazing, amazing work. So yeah, absolutely. So I'll give you a quick primer on puppetry here.
Please.
Just like real fast.
So
there's five major types of puppets. All right. So you've got marionettes. We just mentioned.
You got hand up the butt.
Hand puppets. It's kind of like the Mr. Rogers puppets or Punch and Judy.
Sure.
Okay. Those are hand puppets. You know, it's basically like a glove that you just stick your hand in.
Yeah.
And then you've got rod puppets, which are exactly what they sound like, little things that are on a stick, and they may have some little mechanism, usually like a little trigger or something where you can operate their mouth or whatever, but mainly they're being moved around with a rod.
Oh, you know what it counts as that is the Brian, that episode of Fargo with the puppets.
Yeah.
The dream sequence.
Utopia.
But the part with the puppets where it was kind of bad. You know what I mean?
Yes. That was very much Punch and Judy.
Yeah. And those would be called stick puppets then? That's the name of that technique
rod
or whatever.
Rod puppets.
I think those are more like hand puppets, right? Like, well, no, I guess not, because she was up above them. She wasn't moving with her hands. So they were almost like.
Right. I always just, this thing with the sticks, I always picture, or rods rather, I always picture like the little old timey stage with the opening and then a bunch of crowd out in front of it. And then just like little.
Yeah. That's like you're punching Judy though, right?
Yeah. And that's
is what you're visualizing.
Yeah. And that's what I thought. Yeah. That's what I thought we were seeing in that Fargo episode. Unless I don't.
Yeah. Which are hand puppets. At. Not the.
That's
not
those
the
are hand puppets. Yeah. Sort of like I say, like Mr. Rogers and stuff. Yeah. Like those are all hand puppets. So you've got, and I'm sitting here like doing the hand motions.
You're gesturing.
Like
you guys can see. We can totally see the gestures you're making.
I have a laptop that I need to set up, and then I can get this set up to where I can actually do video on these segments. And I'll keep you posted on that. But I promise that's coming. Okay. So we got marionettes, we got hand puppets, we got rod puppets. Then we have hand and rod puppets, which are Jim Henson style Muppet puppets where your hand is up operating the mouth. And then you've got like you guys' puppets that I gave
you.
Like
the ones that we have. Yeah. From
those are hand and rod puppets. Okay. I'm grouping them badly. I don't remember how they're actually supposed to be grouped, but there's more than that. But then there's shadow puppets and body puppets, which are, you know, basically if you got somebody in like a full mascot
up
costume,
against your Big Bird. Yep. Yeah,
exactly. Yep. Those are body puppets. Okay. So, yeah.
Oh, you there's know what? Your I take it back. They're marionettes in Fargo. I'm looking at the scene.
Fargo, are they? She has them on a string.
They're all strings. Right? Yeah. And the part where he's doing the horrible thing with the bat. Yeah. I don't want to give too much away. That looks like a combination of someone holding a stick and then they're also being suspended by wires. Which must be, so you know what, when you talk about this event coming up, this is what I'm think of, is this kind of artsy fartsy puppet business that you don't normally associate with puppets, just a little darker, you know, I like that.
There was a great piece last year by a guy who'd never done a puppetry piece before and just decided to go out and do this. And it was amazing. It was basically like a giant praying mantis. And the praying mantis was like basically a body puppet. And it was huge and it was so ridiculous. And, you know, she's like on a diet. And so she's trying to go vegan, but she has all these bugs that are her, like her courtesans, and they're trying to put on a show for her. And then, of course, she ends up eating the whole cast by the end of the, by the end of the thing.
That's cool.
But
that's great.
It was hilarious. God. It was really, really funny.
And that was, and that was a body puppet. Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. It was, that puppet was amazing looking. But yeah, it's stuff like that. And they do film pieces. So like, strictly speaking, films like Laika and, Wallace and Gromit, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Those are like stop motion animation. Technically, those are all considered puppets as well, because they are, you know, they're little forms and you manipulate them and move them. One of my good friends is the director of education at the Center for Puppetry Arts. Her name is Aretta Bumgardner. And she says in her Puppetry 101 course, she says, a puppet is anything you can pick up and bring to life. Wow. So, and I love that definition, because then literally anything is a puppet, you know?
That's true.
I got
puppet Tio Salamanca here. Hey, everybody.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I mean,
drugs.
Yeah. And then when she teaches that class, she comes with like a basket full of like, you know, just random stuff like kitchen utensils and things like that, and says, okay, everybody just go pick something up and play with it and see it. Make a character out of it, you know.
Oh, that's wild.
And it's great. So yeah, I mean, puppets are awesome, you guys. Like it's not just the Muppets, although we of course we love them and they're wonderful. Sure. The Muppets are everything, but you know, it's a wide world of stuff you can do with puppets.
What kind of what category would you put Thunderbirds or Team America, those puppets in?
I don't know.
Like marionettes.
They move marionette style, but then their mouths are like some triggery thing.
Yeah.
So does that make
that
them
would still be a marionette? Then
that'd be a marionette. Okay. Yeah. I love those.
Yeah, you can have all kinds of really complicated mechs with marionettes, and there was something that was done. This was several years ago where somebody decided to do reverse. This is actually another puppeteer friend of mine decided to do reverse marionettes, where all the puppets were operated with helium filled balloons.
Oh, weird.
And I know, right? It's like, wow. So that's what I mean by XP, you know, when we say XPT is experimental, it's like, yeah, it's really, you know, out of the box kind of thinking.
Oh, so, cool. Well, it sounds challenging too, now that you've described all that. So I wish you all the luck if they approve you guys to get in. I think this sounds almost kind of hard. So
thank you. Oh, yeah, it's definitely going to be super hard, and I'm going to be working a lot. So I will need all the luck, but all right, of course.
You will get all the luck you can stand from us. Awesome. Well, good luck with all that. Let us know how it goes. Part of me secretly wants it not to happen, so you come to Vegas, and part of me doesn't, because I want to see you do a cool thing. So I'm happy either way. How about that? We're all happy either way,
right?
Yeah.
The way to look at it. Yeah.
All right. Well, have a fantastic time till we see you next, and read lots of books, will you?
Thanks. You too.
Bye now. I meant to mention this book I'm reading right now, which is about a 600-pound man in Britain. They're a bunch of doctors and a couple of hospital engineers and people at his flat about to take him. They've taken a wall out of his flat, and they were about to take him to the hospital to have his leg amputated. And this is all being told from the perspective of the big guy, right?
Right.
And then right as they've done this, they've strapped into like this carrier thing and left him on the floor, and they're about to finish up and get him out of there. And then something goes wrong. They hear sirens. People are like checking their phones, scurrying off. Suddenly the doctor who was there with him the whole time just bolts and leaves. He's not sure what's going on. He's left there all night. Nobody's there.
No.
Like, he hears like sirens. He hears explosions.
Chained to this stretcher, basically.
Yeah, he can't do anything. He eventually gets out. I won't explain how, but it's a whole story. But he eventually gets loose.
Gerald's game with...
kind of, yeah. The world has strapped him in, though. And he turns out he's like the only survivor of something. He can't quite explain. I'm not done with it yet, so I don't know the resolution. But it is absolutely one of the weirdest books I've ever read. It's crazy. I'm trying to remember the name, and I can't. I have to look it up.
Sounds wild.
All right. Hey, you guys. This is toward the end of the show where we do end of show things. Yeah. And one of those things we're going to do real quick is read an email from Lydia, who emailed us at themorningstream@gmail.com about generations, and says this: "Hi, I guess I need to figure out how to be in the chat. But anyway, you should come in there. You're welcome anytime. If you want to come and be in our chat, we'd love to have you. Regarding your conversation about labeling the generations, that's a creation of the marketing business. They lump large categories of age groups together in order to design marketing campaigns to appeal to them. We all also use them because nowadays, in my opinion, humble opinion, sorry, forgot the age, because in the age of the interwebs, all info is everywhere, everything all at once. That's my rant. Well, not a rant, just to share info I looked up once to try to figure out me. I assume they mean them. Anyway, yeah. I'm on the cusp of two baby generations, officially baby boomer, 1961, daughter of a World War II vet, but feeling too young to be thought of as a boomer.
Sure.
I mean, Brian and I are at the top of X, but there are times where I feel like we fit better in millennials. I don't know why. Just do. I relate to
millennials. Oh, really? I don't know if I feel like I fit in the millennial thing, but...
Well, it depends on your... I mean, this is part of the problem, right? We have labels for what we think millennials are.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Or Gen X, for that matter. But I'm, you know, both of us are age-wise pretty far from that. The whole thing's so dumb, though. These categories are so dumb.
It is, yes.
Yeah. It's like, oh, you're in the Z category. Sorry. Let's see. I'll bet there will be some shuffling in the near future, as I'm feeling those who experience the pandemic will have a different life requirement and value as a result, i.e. the mass quitting and retirements post-pandemic. Wow, maybe I should have blogged about this, as it just fell out of me. Have a great day. Stay well. Yours truly, Lydia. Well, thank you, Lydia, for the
love
thoughts.
Love it, Lydia. Yeah,
That's interesting. Yeah, I don't know, man. This stuff with generational gaps, and it's never been any different. It's always been this, and we always give it names, and we always act like we're smartest about it. But
right, of course.
It's just going to go on.
But it's just marketing. It's just a way for Kohl's to say, hey, get your new Millennium Wear.
That's right. Get over here and get that on.
Free avocado toast.
Ooh. Well, now you're talking.
See?
Yeah, now I'm interested. Anyway, thank you for that. If you'd like to send your own emails or calls or voicemails in the show, you can do that, 801-471-0462. Or you can email us, themorningstream@gmail.com. It is time to get out of here. with a musical selection, I guess. Unless you got anything else you'd like to tell anyone about, Brian? Everything else?
Nothing else. No, I'm going to do a little more freelance, and then I'm going to go rest for the rest of the day and see if I can just finally get rid of this thing. We'll see.
I hope so. That'd be great.
Yeah, hope so. Andrew Heim wrote in and said, "Hi, Spotted Coil and Bilby. In TMS fashion, I've completed my 47th rotation of our solar system, and I ask for a cover of Rainbow Connection to celebrate, or any other Muppet cover, as they bring a smile to my face every time I hear them. As always, you guys bring laughter and happiness to my daily commute on the train." There we go. How long is that commute on the train? Thanks, and here's to another TMS year. Andrew from Down Under, Asher 77 in the Tadpole.
Whoops, sorry. I mean to push that.
Love that sound. That's good. You could play him a happy birthday instead of that.
Yeah,
horrible,
let's do that.
William
instead.
Shatner fart noise.
And he sounds young enough.
Let's party.
Only the old lady goes to the old ladies. All right.
That's right. Yeah, 47, so pretty close. P.S. Don't let those drop bears get you. They're a crafty bunch. The bears that fall out of trees onto people.
Oh, yeah. Okay. All right.
Drop bears, they'll kill you. We got the five most deadliest. Jump bears.
Let's go to Rainbow Connection. This is a version I have not played before. It's by Emerson Paris from the 2015 album Art Crimes. It's lovely. She's got an incredible voice, or at least the singer of this voice. Half of the songs on this album are sung by a dude. The other half are sung by a lady. So I don't know if it's Emerson and Paris are two people. They might be. Anyway, here's Emerson Paris and Rainbow Connection.
Are there so many songs about rainbows, and what's on the other side? Rainbows are visions, but only illusions, and rainbows have nothing to hide. So we've been told that some to believe it, I know they're wrong. Wait and see. Well, someday we'll find it, the rainbow connection, the lovers and dreamers in me. Who said that wished on the morning star? Somebody thought of that, and someone believed it, and look what it's done so far. What's so amazing that keeps us stargazing, and what to dreamers in me.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Period. How are you this morning? I'm doing good. Thank you. I'm sure this question has been answered like 5 times by now because I'm about a month behind on episodes, but moths have dusty wings because, well, they're actually tiny scales. They give them the ability to fly, apparently. This is just from a quick Google search. I'm no moth expert, but also butterflies have these tiny scales. They're just not as dusty-like as moths. Pretty interesting stuff. What does this mean? Are they fish? Are they flying fish? I don't know. You decide. See ya.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.